Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
I was in the middle of an exhale. Welcome. I'm Glenn Brooks. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Be ready to ask new questions, become more vulnerable, have a deeper sense of community. I want to welcome you guys. I want to welcome the team. We got some new team members we're going to have on today, and they're going to be with us forever, because forever is a good place to start. Mastery is a good place to start. Mastery. I wanted to share two intimate stories with you to give you a feel. Because when I feel into it, it opens me up. It just okay. I'm going to choose the team that I'm going to share a story. But the team really is the story, the Vibrant Living team. Because there's no way on earth I could do this alone. Which is the first deep lesson of Vibrant Living. You cannot do this alone. So let's welcome God. I want to welcome you all deeply from my being and my heart. Do you want to do this as a spontaneous thing, or should I? Who would like to speak first and introduce themselves? I'll do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Hello, my name is Sherry Marquez, and I am the Dog Mystic. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Aloha, this is Janet Carafa, and I am yoga instructor. I have Hot Yoga Princeville on Kauai, a healing dojo for yoga and hot yoga. And I get to be here today, too. Aloha.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Hi, this Thank is you. Dr. Gail Randall of Randall Wellness and Vibrant Living, and I'm so happy to be here. We got 140 days, Glenn, 5 months.
Wow. 5 months. It feels like it literally feels like forever.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. One thing's clear. What's that, Lisa?
I said, you're supposed to say it just feels like yesterday.
Right?
Not forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it feels better. It feels better than yesterday. It feels like better than yesterday. It feels like, here's how it feels. It feels like I met Gail in one of the most vulnerable life moments I've ever had, where I had no idea what was going to happen, what was going to go. And we met in the deep remarkable, beyond all kind of linear thinking. It wasn't truly a miraculous moment. And then, on my end, I was like, to receive and open to what was there was so beyond anything I ever experienced before that it opened me up in a new way. And actually what it did is it taught my system to trust in a new way. And of course, she fulfilled the promise of a new breed of physician, which is to deeply listen and to heal himself. So it was so different than what I had, that I couldn't say yesterday, because I'm more alive because of Gail and with Gail and Dr. Randall's work than ever before. So it's better than yesterday. Yeah, better than yesterday.
Yeah. It's all the circle.
Yeah. A big circle. Yeah. So, Lisa, there you are.
Yeah, so I'm Lisa LaRose, onewisdom.org, and I also want to welcome Jennifer Rowe, who could not be here today, and it's thehealingrowe.com is her website. We want to offer her a warm welcome. She joined us last week, and we're looking forward to her being part of the team and hopefully joining us next week.
Yes, Yeah, she's in Denver as we speak. She's I met Jen in the Remarkable. And so the Remarkable is these moments we meet people that's beyond our linear. It's a feel. I sometimes call it a blink. And what I mean by that is that I can blink my eyes with them, and it's like we just know we can trust each other, and we're willing, willingness. The most relevant thing, I think, to healing and waking up is willingness to shift your perception and focus on the unity, even though it's totally different. Totally different. I'm reading this book from 1912, and he's saying in 1912 that people have lost their way because of artificial occupations, that artificial occupation distract us from the most relevant, precious awakenings of life, 1912. And he's talking about the Indian clubs and being able to move and breathe. All right, two quick intimacy stories, and then I had another intimacy story, not just intellectually, but I felt it from Janet that really moved me so deeply. I feel so much closer to Janet. We'll share that story in a moment. I want to share these two intimacy stories because I say to people the most relevant thing in your life is the ability to take an intimacy on all levels and soften rather than harden. It's very hard to receive energy in life when you're armored. So to be able to let your shell be soft, right? Not so one. Okay, I'm going to share one and three. Then I want Janet to share. And it's so good hearing Janet's voice. I feel, you know, she's my co-dojo, my co-teacher for bringing about, you know, 14 people to Carnegie Hall. So I got to trust, you know, when you're really in the dojo, you got to trust each other with your life. And I do with Janet. And I feel closer to it. Such a good feeling another level of, I've been saying to my clients this last couple of weeks, to linger in love, to not run away from that, to let that love, let that presence. Speakers run away from presence. They're like, okay, I got over that part. And I said, no, I do it again. I drive them nuts. I say, feel the relational presence. So I'm at this workshop. I did a series called International Conversations in Love, Intimacy, and Sex. And I'm in this room with about 100 people. And one of the women that stood up, she says, I might cry the whole weekend. My son was killed in a car crash. She told us that her son was killed in a car crash. Now, the next morning, there's a funny part of the story, but let me focus on this part. It's so beautiful. So the next morning at breakfast, I was sitting next to her, the girl that her son had passed away, and she was crying, and she asked me one of the most precious questions of my life. She just looked at me and said, is it okay with you if I lay my shoulder on your, I lay my head on your shoulder? And it was a fantastic interruption. Whatever I was thinking of doing, that was the most precious interaction. And I exhaled, and it was like, I just allow her to be there. I felt her. And that was the beginning of, actually, that was the beginning of Saturday. And Saturday was people come there, and you ask questions. You take these risks to, like, allow something to occur that you couldn't script. Now, that was a moment of profound intimacy. It has stayed in my heart, my nervous system, since she did it. And when I'm lost in my thinking or whatever, I tune into that moment. Another moment, I was producing a show with Dr. Norm Shilley, my deep mentor, neurosurgeon. Me and Dr. Gail Randall are going to do a year worth of programs on how do you grow young? You know, like, let's give up some of this dying thing. I don't feel we're meant to randomly die by silly human mistakes. And Norm at 86 has learned some things about growing young. He also helps people with resolving significant pain dilemmas from around the world. So Norm Shiller, I can send him a shout out. I love Norm so much. He's my family member. I love Norm. Now, this other one. What was the other one? Oh, okay. This is the other one. I'm taping the show with Norm, and my co-host, Rose Rivera, says to me, this is a series called Beyond the Formula. She says, oh, could you speak to my partner's mother? She's been working with this guy in Naples at $3,000 a month. And she goes, I think if you speak to her, you could find out the most valuable thing in the program. She's running out of money. And I said, of course. So we set up this meeting, and I hear a voice. And I'm sure as I say this, I'm just thinking about you, Gail, how you know, because you're with people in life and death matters, and bigger healing matters, and big life matters. So as soon as I hear a voice, within a word, I hear she's straining terribly. And I say to her, you know what? Don't speak to me. I know it's hard for you to speak to me. I go, I'm going to have your daughter sit in a chair. I want you to whisper in her ear what you want to tell me. And basically what I asked her was, for the program that was $3,000 a month, what was the thing that was the most valuable to her? And her daughter spoke to me, and I felt this beautiful energy of intimacy. And it was wondrous and profound. Another moment, when we practice unarmoring, we get to the core of vibrancy, and we come to the core of vibrancy, we come to the core of developing community and trust. And then when we eat food, good food, organic food, biodynamic food, we could receive it deeper. I'll quote Rudolf Steiner, and then I'll go right to Janet, who I love so much, Janet Carafa, my co-teacher for our program at Carnegie Hall in 8 months, for people who want to share their vibrant messages of their life, and also you other exemplifiers. Rudolf Steiner says, when you're happy, you could eat rocks. I thought that was powerful. When you're happy, you could eat rocks. So, Janet, I want to say, yeah, when I spoke to you, I just felt this other level of resonance and closeness to you. And I was so happy about it. And then you shared the story. So I thought you could share some of the story you shared with me, because it really impacted me. And I guess relevant to your story, I felt so moved. This, as we go on in the show's going to be all about our vibrant message and, in a sense, our vibrant we mission. And when I first came into this awareness of becoming more awake, I felt we're all here to sing our song. But then I started to realize we're here to sing our song together. I love singing our song together. Share with me, share with the audience what you shared with me. And you're such a master. I loved watching you present. I had forgotten how much I love watching you. When you told your story and dropped the letter, which you'll educate people now. Go ahead and share your story.
Okay, well, you know, I've been performing for many years. And so the idea of performing and presenting, especially in mime, in everything, in whether it's speaking, singing, presenting, is to touch people, is to come from the heart, is to share the energy vibration that changes each other, that where we're communing like we are here, like you're talking about our team, we must do it together. That's what the presenting is. So I was working on that here on Kauai and with a small group of people, and we were to tell a story and present it. And so what came to me was this true story, which is actually a miracle. And what you also discover when you express yourself and tell stories is that every moment there are miracles, if you're aware. So what happened was, and this is absolutely true, this is just a few months ago, 4 months ago, I closed down my apartment in New York, and I moved full time to Kauai. Not that I'm not coming back to New York, but I just closed my apartment, so I'd have one home, you know. And I had hundreds of books, so I gave away most of my books, and I had one box of them that I had just decided I would send back to Kauai. So I got the books. I'm here on Kauai. Got the one box. I emptied it out on the table. I opened it, put all the books on the table. And I had been packing, and I just picked what books I thought would be nice to have. So I, you know, it wasn't like I went through them or anything. The book, something fell out of one of the books, a letter, and I didn't even know which book. And I see the letter on the floor, pick it up, and I read it, and it's a love letter from, it's like the love letter of my life. Up to now, you know, I mean, it was from my ex-husband before we were married, just before. And it was like, just floated out of the sky, you know. So I read it, and it just completely brought tears to me and opened my heart. And I just went, oh, my God, have I forgotten this passion? I have. And then I realized, oh, my God, I closed down. When I got divorced, you know, in order to move ahead, and not to feel the too much pain, I closed, you know, kind of compartmentally certain parts of my heart.
I apologize for some crazy. I apologize for the noise. Please continue.
Okay. So, anyways, well, yeah. Noise or what? So that's what happened. So then I realized, oh my God. So then I'm sharing this story, and what it does is basically open up those areas, and I start feeling the same pain as way back when I got the divorce. And someone would look at me cross-eyed or so look at me different, and I'd go, oh, you know, and I'd feel betrayal or I'd feel.
Yes.
So all the feelings start coming up from just opening, just allowing, and I'm going, wow, I can actually live through these feelings, which I believe back then I didn't think I could. And maybe I couldn't at the time. So anyway, that's been the exploration to actually allow, be in the vulnerability, allow the feelings, allow the awful feelings, and not give stories, not give new stories to them and hold them back. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. Just let them be. So that's, and to be able to present that to people, not as a performance, but as a sharing, so that, like you said, you felt it, so they feel it, so we share back and forth. And that's what we're working for at Carnegie Hall, to change the world, to speak to the world audience, which is why we're choosing Carnegie Hall, and to do it from the heart, from the change, to share back and forth with the audience, that we touch each other and change each other and open and be vulnerable and yet clear and make a change. You know, change the world. Everybody can change the world.
I was taking that in. Go ahead, Gail.
No, it was so beautiful, Janet. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Janet.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Very good.
It was funny. So one of the beliefs that I had for many years was the upside of having an open heart. the upside. And then there's another dimension of modulating your heart in different situations. Because the downside is that if you open your heart, there's some people who may not notice it. And so we're meant to develop this, if you will, relational intelligence to our heart. And of course, there's some people in some environments. So here I am, Vibrant Team. I'm working with this guy named Jason, and he's studying something called it's called visceral manipulation. It's the idea that each organ has its own timing and system, and it's very rhythmic. And now this particular day, he has his hands, and he's working with we have a sac around our heart. Now, I know Gail's going to be able to address this medically, but we have a sac around our heart. And he's working with my heart sac, and there's one moment he looks at me. I sees my eyes, and he says, how is this? And I said, it's the most intimate stuff I've ever had is how it is. And then I exhaled. And so when I heard about your story, what happened immediately to me was, as I prepare to make this move, the announcement, which is about the miracle of reunion and about a couple who shift their perception to claim the infinite mind and the love that was always there that got blocked by a moment they were going to divorce. So, or they did divorce. So when I heard your story, I became, and I'm curious about the panel, I want to ask everyone on the panel this morning, I became very aware of some people that I wouldn't let get close to me based on something they said, based on an opinion they had. And now in my life, I wasn't just focused per se on having an open heart. I was more both discerning. But when you told the story, I realized that there was some of these people, three or four of them, that I would not let get in. I wouldn't let get close to me. And I had this incident actually with a woman I just saw, like on Sunday. And so when you shared that story, it opened my heart. My heart listened to your heart through the ethers. And somehow I felt closer to you, but also it made me reflect on, like, and I see this with people every day, like Dr. Norm Shirley said to me when he read his great-great-grandfather's diaries. His great-grandfather says, I saw a moment, so I'm going to paraphrase, saw a moment where I realized I'd set up my death. I set up when I was going to die, and now I'm on that script. And at another moment, he realizes we can set up death or life based on a new interpretation and a new life. So when you said that, it reminded me, my cells and my being, that, oh, yeah, I must have done this because I didn't want to experience any pain. I wouldn't tolerate people to hurt me. And I didn't. And with somehow hearing your story, it was like, and the letter that your husband wrote you, of course, is incredibly deep and beautiful, and it woke me up. It was like, wow, this guy really sent you this deep frequency of love. So my question for the Vibrant panel today is, do you see a moment in your life, you could be a little girl on your bicycle, and this woman said to me, she's on a bicycle, she falls, she's six, and the neighbor comes out and says, don't cry. And she stopped crying. She says she stopped crying the next 30 years. So I want to ask you guys, is there a moment where you reflected on it and you made a choice to walk away, or I've never let someone – I'm just curious, what happened at some point that you – like Janet became aware of something that happened 20 years ago and yet woke her heart up. Does anybody in the panel relate to that or had an experience like that? Or like, give me your take. I want to hear about what happened and did you choose again, or what did you make of Janet's story? Anything around intimacy and opening up to intimacy in a world that could seem dangerous at moments?
It's beautiful science.
It was put on the spot of thinking,
Well, this is Janet. I can share also that at the end, I did as a spoken word, which is very unusual for me. So I spoke about the story. I talked about it. But at the end, I did mime, and so I came around, I finished the story, I put down the microphone, and I did mime, which was literally an opening of the physical heart and an expression from the heart. So I don't know, just sharing that.
Well, that's cool because you felt it from – and like, you know, you were expressing it, but then you were miming it and fully feeling from the inside and out, like to the out, like opening up your heart and fully like showing it and feeling it. That's beautiful.
Yes.
I like that.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Janet, when you were sharing that story, I almost felt like you were laying your head on the shoulders of each one of us. And, you know, I could just feel, you know, so much of what that feels like. You know, I think not every one of us that's listening has been there. And to be able to share in something so intimate is really, really a blessing. And, you know, and it made me think when Glenn asked that question, there's a song called I Choose Love. And the first time that I ever saw the video of that song, you know, it shows, you know, you have two choices, you know, love, hate, love, fear. And really, if you just choose love, that's the path you go down. There's so much more that opens up. And I remember, like, when you were telling that story, it reminded me of the first time that I saw the images in the video, because my heart would go, you know, just to the things that were beautiful, the things that were sad and really, you know, heart-gripping. You know, it just was a reminder that we do have that choice. You know, you could have looked at that letter and ripped it up and thought, oh, you know, I don't want to revisit this. But you didn't.
Yes.
You chose to examine it and open that path. And, you know, and so thank you very much for sharing and choosing love. Really, really, truly.
Yes, I was actually, what I realized is I was afraid to love him anymore because, you know, and so what it did was I could open the love there. And that, like you said, Glenn, certain mm-hmm. people you close off, that means you close everyone off in that
way.
Basically, you know, that this is a whole new life. This is a whole, this is about me and my heart, not even about him, you know.
You know, I want to share, Kat, there's so much to share. I really appreciate Lisa and Gail. So in a moment, we're going to have Kevin Anderson on, who's a genius at helping people become published with traditional all ways of publishing. And I just wanted to share that we have these moments like a parallel universe where we what we do is we cover something with our thinking, our linear thinking, and then we miss this fluent, alive thinking. So we have a dead thinking, if you will, and then they have this alive thing. And they live sort of in a parallel universe because one exo could reveal and let us feel something. And this is very also very true. I teach people, all right, so as a matchmaker, there's Cupid's poison, and then there's Cupid's love, we'll call it, deep love. And so what happens is, because I always wondered, I couldn't understand why people ever broke up, you know, always puzzled me. So, but then I realized if they stay in Cupid's poison, which is just to have this outer level sex, it's very different than this deeper sex. And so it altered. I went through many shifts, and I want to deeply welcome Jesse McGuire, because I use this in my life as a skill. I could sense people deeply. And Jesse, I just thought I would share a story as we. First of all, I guess I got to watch the clock here. It was like, Kevin, you know what? You got to go. Jennifer.
I've got to go.
Jennifer,
so Jesse can you come
go.
On too.
I called
so
you Jennifer.
Aloha, everybody.
All right. Deep
aloha.
Love to you.
Thank you.
All right. All right. All right. We're gonna invite. Yeah, I'm gonna tell the story, and we're gonna invite Kevin Anderson, and we're gonna talk to Sherry and you about the books. Oh my God, he's calling me right now. I'm gonna tell him to call in. I'll be right back. Your life's precious. Enjoy, guys.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome. I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network with our Vibrant Living team. And I want to just confirm I want to confirm you're there. Oh, geez. It looks like, hold on. Gail, talk to the audience for me for 1 second, okay, Gail? Dr. Gail Randall.
Okay. Let me just continue with Janet's train. I opened myself to love too as a child. That my childhood was somewhat difficult. I was a middle child, and there was just so much chaos in the house, and my parents had difficulties, and, you know, I wanted to love so badly. So I actually, at the first time I ever walked to where the horses were, because I always watched closely, was when I was 3 years old. I walked all the way to where the horses were, and they welcomed me, and I was so exhausted I fell asleep, and when I woke up, they were all encircling me, and with their soft velvet noses and breath breathing me and telling me, wake up, little girl, time to go home. And that was one of the most magical experiences I ever had. And it was me really choosing love, and they became my friends. And I went back many times, but I got in a little bit of trouble when I got home. Anyway, it was choosing love, because I wasn't getting it in my home, so I found it outward. And I had every little broken animal in the neighborhood I would find, I would bring home and nurse back to health and release in the wild. So it was, for me, through animals, and through animals I learned to love people.
Call.
Open my heart.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Gail Randall. I know, I have such a... It's hard to express certain things through words, but I'm so grateful, profoundly grateful for Dr. Gail Randall. You know, there's a few ways people could educate you. It could be unlimited. One of the ways that Dr. Randall, if you will, educated me, thank you. So I want to welcome Kevin Anderson of Kevin Anderson Associates. He has a gift and a wisdom of helping people become published with their precious message to traditional and non-traditional approaches. We've been in conversation about publishing these vibrant messages. So, see, a lot of times what people want to do when they write a book, and I can give you an example. I had a client come to me, and he says, Glenn, I want to write a book called The Wisdom Tooth. He was a dentist. But the more that we work together, you realize, Glenn, I want to write a vibrant message book. I want to write about what's really moving me. And he goes, what I'm doing with the wisdom tooth, but the wisdom tooth is not writing something that's really for me. So, first of all, deeply welcome to you, Kevin. I wanted to tell a story to say why I'm so excited. And we got Jesse here, Teddy Bessogar. She's our official in-house vibrant writer. Welcome, Kevin.
Well, thank you so much. It's my deep pleasure to be here.
Yeah. I want to welcome everybody to Kevin. And so I'm going to share this story because it's very unusual, and because I never in my life, other than getting distracted by high school and the nonsense they shared in high school, so I kept reading Mark Twain's quote. He says that he didn't let schooling get in the way of his education. So it's so many years ago now. It's over 24 years ago, I met a psychiatrist, Dr. Wayne London. And the first time I met him, I always knew my life was very different between winter and spring and summer. Something is a profound difference. And I could see it on a number of levels. It affected my mood. It affected the way I sense things. And when I went to school, I was sitting under fluorescent lights. Now, I first had a suspicion of how that impacted me reading this Disney scientist who broke his glasses in Italy. And when he broke his glasses, arthritis got much better. He started to heal. When I met Dr. Wayne London, he shared with me things about the light that I had suspected about how the light. Then he shared things about, at the time, hard contact lenses and how the cancer in women would increase in their breasts by hard contacts. And I knew immediately I wanted to put together a forum to share this with people. It was a seminar on beating the winter blues and really discovering new life. And he used to call me Boober after the mystic author, Hasidic author named Martin Buber. So he'd always call me Boober, and we had this deep relationship. And he used to say, Boober, he goes, your purpose on this planet is to make the kind of connections and reveal people's message in a way that's incredibly uncommon. So we put this event together, and it's in Vermont. It's got to be 10, 20 below zero. And Wayne gives his talk, and he's talking about the hard contact lenses, how that's impacting women's breast health. And he's talking about how light from the sun wakes us up in a way. It actually shifts on our genes. It was quite a talk. But we had very few people come to that event. We had 90 people come. We wanted like 400. But he came up to me. He says, Boober, he goes, when you put together things, he goes, that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's all good. And he used to say, we knew each other probably 15 years. And he always, there were several other things he did. His first research project was about light and full spectrum light. So what happens is 6 months later, I hear about this book that's going to be published. It's going to sell about 150,000 copies. In the beginning of that book, which is on beating manic depression, she acknowledges our event in Vermont, says it was Glenn Brooks's put together this event. And I realized, something I was never schooled in, but there was something about people's vibrant message. And when I had the honor of talking to Kevin, I realized, wow, when I thought I was telling Kevin about the seminar that we're going to teach together, me and Dr. Gail Randall, I thought, wow. So very few people, and of course, Sherry Marquez, the dog mystic, is going to write this book on being in deep touch. I felt that Kevin had a sense of bringing out these messages where there's a growing market of people, as an example, who realize getting rid of symptoms has nothing to do with healing. It might be good medically for you to get rid of symptoms, but healing is an experience of a bigger life, more of a sense of wonder, and more of a sense of heart flow. So Vibrant Healing is writing to a marketplace that's realizing, like, you know what? Being normal, going to the doctor is not enough. There's got to be something about community, love, and a new sense of intimacy and a new sense of vibrancy. So, Kevin, what I want to do is I want to feature Dr. Gail Randall first. So I guess I think I alluded to the miraculousness of how I met Dr. Gail Randall. Did I share that story with you?
Yeah, a little bit, but I'd love to hear a little,
okay.
I'd love to hear it over again.
All right. You're great. Okay, here's my story. So I started to develop a relationship with a business relationship with this, I would say, very innovative eye doctor. Because I felt to myself, wow, it's interesting to me that people accept this notion and people are addicted to – someone said to me, an eye doctor said to me, he said, you know, people are addicted to three things. He said they're addicted to their eyeglasses, they're addicted to thinking, and they're addicted to sitting or something. He said, and I thought that's interesting. And I started to talk to this eye doctor because I was noticing something in my eyes. I was noticing something with my left eye. And the first time I noticed, I was taking a shower. And it scared me so much, I got out of the shower. I was in the living room, I have a towel, but I'm like so scared. And I said to myself, maybe I should go back in the shower and exhale a few times. Like, being panicked isn't going to help me. So I called the eye doctor I had been talking to, and he loves the idea of vibrant seeing. He says, Glenn, I've published several books, but this idea of vibrant seeing is off the planet because the experience of seeing is very different than looking. The experience of seeing is being able to take in what sometimes we'll screen out by looking, because sometimes looking is also straining. And so we're talking over the, you know, a few months, and he's got a very advanced practice and basically says, come to my office. You don't have to put drops in your eyes. It's all going to be good. And in the meantime, I had a long conversation with a woman who regenerated her optic nerves. And I thought, you know what? We never really get taught about seeing. It's kind of like glasses in some sense are a little bit of like, I don't know, almost like a life of not fully seeing. Because it is. So I go to see this guy. It's nighttime. And long story short, he says some things that I feel totally devastated by around my seeing. And then I remember that night because just driving back home, you ever notice in life sometimes something happens or someone says something and it devastates you. And they're like, got to get to my next appointment. So what he said to me was enough that it rocked me for like weeks. And I looked up Kevin and Sherry and Jesse, when Lisa, I looked up this, I saw about this office, this very innovative medical office in California, and my deep intuition says, just call her. So I call her, and I'm still functioning at about 20%, and I'm reminding myself, it's beyond what I, there's nothing I could do, it just seems like it's there, I don't know what to do. So I call the office, and I say, you know, I really would like to speak to Dr. Randall about her work. It sounds like she's a person who really understands big medicine. Like, whoa, she understands energy. She's, you know, trained in the medicine wheel. She's been a professor at UCLA. She's a professor. She's been a doctor. You know, she's the doctor. That's the real doctor that I want to speak to. So I go beyond all the local people. And one day, Kevin and Vibrant Crew, she calls me back. And when I heard Tony say to me, Dr. Randall could speak to you now, I discarded everything that was around me that was in the car, and I pulled over, and the first thing I did is ran to a dumpster. And I think I did that. I call that – by the way, Kevin, that became miracle down by the dumpster. No one was around me. No one's going to listen to my embarrassing, totally – I didn't waste any time. It was kind of like, oh, my God, you're Dr. Randall. And she said yes. And from her yes, I poured my soul into her, and she said two things to me that transformed me on the spot. 50% of my terror went away, which is, I love you, and you got into separateness. And she goes, I knew that you, she said to me, I know you knew Dr. Valerie Hunt. She said, I was very close with Dr. Valerie Hunt, the scientist at UCLA who studied energy healers. And she says, I was very close to her, and she's winking at us right now. And so pretty much I was in a whole different part of my brain. I'm like, in every way, I'm on my knees. And then she says to me, Glenn, I'm going to send you some supplements and things that are going to help you. And she kind of said something, and it wasn't just what she said. And now I think Dr. Randall said it's our 150th day. She met Nida. We meet every day. And it's the most powerful relationship I've had, not just with a physician, but a genuine human being who's really dedicated to assist people to experience healing in a way I never had before. And so our being around Dr. Randall is contagious at the level of wisdom and wonder. And our conversation with you, by the way, I loved. I really get a good sense of you. And Jesse, who's going to be our in-house vibrant writer. And so my commitment is to develop the kind of writing. And so that's how I met Dr. Randall, Kevin. And I just felt, oh, my God, we need to get this out there. And getting a person's vibrant message out is so profound. And so that miracle down by the dumpster, I was going to call it exorcism by down the dumpster, but I thought the miracle would make me more accessible.
The miracle.
So that was
really
it.
You knowing that it was about the vision that you were bringing
in for
yourself, and the vision that you're bringing in for the whole planet regarding, vibrant living and vibrant seeing and vibrant writing. And the dumpster was no mistake, because you had these belief systems that weren't serving you about healing, and they were stopping you. They were stopping you from knowing that you could and so that you could trust. And so that dumpster was there for a purpose. A divine purpose.
You know, Kevin, sometimes you know something, and then sometimes you catch it at another whole level. Like, everything I sort of knew, but when actually Gail said it to me, the next text she sent me was, I want to be the captain of your healing boat. I was like, she says, don't think about it, just do it. So I called her, I was like, yes. I was like, yes, you're my healer. You're my in-person healer, because this ain't no hour visit at some local medical office. This is nothing like that. So I vision that we have these books called Vibrant Books, and that some of the people will speak at Carnegie Hall. And I needed someone top-notch who had integrity, and who wouldn't be deceptive in their publishing practice, and who had a sense and had integrity and knew the game. And the same thing with Sherry Marquez. When I met Sherry, I knew that, oh my God, she's so authentic and real about the whole thing with dogs, that we need to publish a book and bring it to people that would allow them to be in deep tune with their dogs. And here you are. We got Jesse, who I feel in my heart is someone that's been very experienced about communicating some of the finer points of what some people might call alternative medicine. It's really ancient medicine, and it's current day. We need to get back into the rhythm with our lives in community and love and being tuned into each other. So first of all, it's great having you on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Yeah. So since you're going to publish all these books, what's the first – I don't know. Gail, ask Kevin a question, or Sherry, ask Kevin a question. I want you guys to participate. And Kevin's such a warm, real person. He's not a New York huckster. He's a real human being. I like that about you.
Yeah, so Kevin, how can you share with our audience and with us – I mean, I've had the honor of speaking with you, but how would a person, if they have a vibrant message – what's the next step with you? Well, how does it work?
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for that question. And maybe and Glenn, maybe it's the my Canadian roots that are coming through.
We got Lisa from Canada. We got Lisa from Canada.
Oh, great.
And Jackie's from Spain, so she's somewhere in the middle of the world. And me, I've hung out too much in Massachusetts, but I do have international connections. And I feel the best book I read was called Beyond Culture, which is Don't Get Trapped in Your Culture. So please, Canadian wizard, share.
That's great. Yeah. So I grew up in northern Alberta, Canada, very small farm. And then I lived in Massachusetts for a while, too, when I was in grad school. But now I've been in New York for a while. So but anyway, back to the question. Someone has a vibrant message and really wants to share it. I think the first thing to do if they want to, if they really want to work with us and have us help them is, just give us a call. And we're happy to talk through and let them pour out their mind and heart, and we can from that kind of initial brainstorming call. I mean, you don't have to have all these things figured out. It can all be really just
just a passion and not really put together in any kind of structure yet, or even know really what the book is about. But we can kind of help tease that out and talk through it and figure out how this might be able to be turned into a book. Because obviously a book can't just be it can't be just a stream of consciousness unless you're James Joyce or something. But with most books these days, we'd like to have some kind of structure and a primary concept that we can build the whole book around. But our job is to really help bring that out and let the author just spill what's on their mind, and we can help to kind of structure that and figure out what kind of book this could be.
So I just want to add to that. I had the experience of writing my book, which isn't published yet, which was called Unscripted Power. So basically the idea is to build a community of people, to give the author platform so that their vibrant book is also represents their vibrant talks. So Sherry said something this morning, Kevin. Do you have a dog? I forgot. Do you have a dog?
I grew up with dogs, and I lost a dear, long 14-year-old friend a couple of years ago. We haven't gotten one since, but I love dogs, and I grew up with them.
So, I with this psychiatrist I mentioned, he did this whole thing around dogs and healing and changed, sort of transformed my life. So Sherry said to me something this morning I never heard of before. I've only heard about your dog eating or feeding in relation to aggression. But Sherry says there's another whole side of this that she wanted to share with us, and maybe we'll give one of these dog mystic tips. And my vision is to have Sherry's book and her seminars reach the world so that people don't, abandon their dogs, be cruel to them out of their own ignorance, or as another author says, crazy people, crazy dogs, to make them more sane, responsive, and intuitive with the dog. So the wonder, I could tell by your voice, what kind of dog was your dog?
Most recently it was a golden lab, but then we grew up with golden retrievers.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right. So Sherry, I want to introduce you to Kevin Anderson Associates, it looks like he's going to be our new partner in Vibrant Publishing. And Jesse, you're there. You've been very quiet and meditative. I appreciate your being on the call so much, Jesse. And we've only just begun. So go ahead, Sherry, share something. You said to me this morning, because I thought it was an interesting thing about feeding, how dogs feed. That was sort of interesting. Why don't you, I want to welcome your contribution.
Well, thank you. And Kevin, I look forward to speaking with you and collaborating. I'm definitely very excited. These past couple of weeks, I've been just giving some different exercises on just how to be more in tune with your dog. And, the main thing, what the world needs all over the place right now is just a lot more compassion. A lot more compassion for people and for animals and for the earth in general, So one of the, the exercise for today, it sounds kind of weird, but when you feed your dog or your dogs, actually just sit there and watch them eat, because each dog has a different eating style, but for the dogs that eat really really fast and they don't even like chew their food. Because I'm looking, there's some dogs that chew their food really fast, and they just they need a special bowl so that it slows them down from eating so fast, and they don't even like chew their food, and then they're swallowing the food whole, but like they have digestive acids in their stomachs that break everything down much much easier than people do. So it's actually just like observing how they're eating. Then you have like smaller dogs that take literally one morsel of the kibble and walk away and chew on it and enjoy and totally indulge on the food. So, just by being aware and being in the moment and watching the dogs eat, then you can take it in and give a perspective on the way that you're eating,
are you enjoying your food, or are you just sitting down and eating really fast? Because when you eat really fast, then your brain is not telling you when you're full. You know, unfortunately, obesity in America is you know, just getting worse and worse because people are not enjoying their food. I mean, like, you know, if you eat the way that the smaller dogs are eating and chew the food better, you're sitting down, you're enjoying the taste, and you're eating slow, then your body or your brain is able to tell you exactly when you're full, and you're able to just be in the moment and enjoy the taste of the food. And it doesn't, it helps with the digestion of the food, and it takes less energy to digest it in the body. So that's my exercise for today. Just watch your dog.
I want to exactly thank you. Thank you. It sounds like one of my
states.
That's beautiful. It's very, very beautiful. It's very good. I want to welcome you guys to a new feature we're going to do on Vibrant Publishing, Vibrant Writing. That's going to share the journey of authors who wanted to deliver their vibrant messages. And I'm going to see if I could twist Kevin's arm to be on regularly. And we're going to have meetings in the New York City area so we can all meet each other. Because as we launch our vibrant messaging community, we wake up our relational brain and we become more creative and more in sync. And that's just, you know, and that tips into being a vibrant exemplifier. A violent exemplifier, which means you need to pick someone and tell them you're devoted to their book becoming wildly successful and introduce them. That's a big fun part of this training. You learn how to really bring someone else forward. And so, Kevin, what do you say? We're going to publish $1 million worth of books and let people with their most alive, vibrant messages and then speak at places like Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. I wish I said this to my parents. It was very confusing. Their only question to me is, are you going to get another job? And I was thinking, I already don't like the one I have. I thought the purpose of working a job was to go off and do fun things like go to the beach. I don't want another one. So I the first time Mark Twain said, well, the true success is turning your vocation into your vacation. It was like, oh my God, it's the smartest thing I ever heard. And no one has ever said that to me ever at school. And I thought, I think what I want to do is I want to listen to people and let their vibrant message come alive. And then I met you because you went to so much school. I could always say, well, Kevin's the smart one. He's the school smart one. So I could say that. And Yale already went to UCLA, so I get to say she went to UCLA. And I share a relational brain with her. It's my way of bragging. So we're going to go to another – get more time. God, Jesse, say something. You haven't said something. You're the in-house vibrant writer. Say something. You've written a lot. You're smart. You're wonderful. You're a vibrant writer. Make a comment.
Oh, yeah. I have written a lot. Well, I wanted to add that, yeah, ghostwriting is such an intimate process. And I kind of wanted to ask Kevin about his experience with intimacy through ghostwriting.
Yeah, absolutely. Ghostwriting is definitely a very intimate process, and the writer, depending on what you're writing about, especially, right? It's a lot less. It can be a lot less though, when it's maybe an economics book. But even then, I mean, you really have to get into the mind of the author, and so the ghostwriter really needs to get to know the author and understand their mentality and their vision, and they spend a lot of time together. And depending on what kind of book it is, especially these kinds of books, you know, it really is, you know, it's a very close relationship, and it's important. And that's why it's so important at the beginning of the process that you really are aligned with your ghost. You know,
I want to add one thing to this. And Jesse, I'm so glad you brought that up. You've got a wonderful voice. I'm glad you shared it. I decided, and I know Halloween's upon us, that I wouldn't allow any ghosts in the process. I turn all my writers, with their permission, into vibrant connectors. So because when I had ghostwriters at my house, it would scare the neighbors. I just reviewing of that line any humor. I have his reviewing of that line any value to it. But I took a risk, and humor is all about risking. It's the same thing. The improv never ends. Let's go back to Lisa. Do you have a burning insight here, Lisa Rose? Did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying just listening to everybody's interaction, and I think, Glenn, that's really the joy of what you do, is bringing together people who ordinarily would never necessarily meet. You know, there would be you know, how I would be able to interact with a dog mystic, and coincidentally that, you know, I have 13 dogs, and now you're going to be somebody that's a fellow outdoor.
Yeah.
You know, it's the magic and wonder of what you do. And
I love it.
Thank you.
You know, I have a suspicion. My suspicion. You're my freshest and joy, guys. Thank you. Thank my new welcome, Jesse. Welcome, Jen Rose. I have a suspicion that I've been at many bar mitzvahs with Kevin, and we just happened to meet now. That's, you know, I feel like I've known Kevin. I get his culture, his vibe. Hey, I love you guys. Appreciate you a lot. So, Kevin, we'll talk again. We'll have you on. Welcome to Vibrant Writing, Vibrant Connecting.
Yeah,
Dr. Gail Randall, Lisa LaRose, Sherry Marquez, Jesse McGuire. Thank you deeply. I couldn't do any of this without you. Thank you. You're like precious, and we need each other.
Bye.
Have a fabulous weekend. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Take care.